Morning, everybody. I'd like to add my welcome to Christian Life Church Online. I'm Tim Mitchell, and today I'm going to be continuing in our preaching series through the book of Acts. Acts is a book in the New Testament that tells a story of the start of the church and its spread of the gospel at that time. I'm going to continue the series by speaking from chapter 9. Chapter 9 introduces a character called Saul, also known as Paul. Now, Saul in the rest of Acts was one of the key characters, if not the key character. He was a powerful speaker. He was a bold missionary who traveled all over southern Europe, far and wide, to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And later in his life, he wrote a lot of letters to the churches in that area, and quite a number of those letters became big chunk of the New Testament. So a real key character. But before all that, he was a Jewish leader who was totally opposed to Christians and opposed to the church. And this chapter 9 tells of that transformation in his life, how his life was just turned right around. So I'm going to read now from chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Saul? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, and to their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. If you know a bit about the rest of the story of Paul, you know what an amazing life he led and what an incredible ministry he had. And you may think, oh, this guy is really out of my league. He's just way beyond what I have achieved. But I believe this story has some things that can teach each one of us. So I'm going to make 3 points. The first is, Saul's calling by Jesus was personal and unique. He called out to Saul by name. He said, "Saul, Saul." And only Saul got the message. It says those around him heard the sound. But when Paul describes this in Acts chapter 22, he said they heard a sound, but they didn't understand what was being said. God picked out Saul out of that group. He picked him right out. And I don't know if later in their lives, any of those people were called by Jesus and became Christians. We don't know that. But in this instance, God zoomed right in on Saul. He was after Saul. And God has got a very unique and personal calling for each one of you. Each one of you, God is calling you by your name. Now you may think, well, Saul was special, but I'm not really special. I'm quite average. And I guess most of us think that. I certainly think that. But actually, in God's eyes, we're all special. We are created by God, and God has done a good job on you. And he's got a unique job for you, a unique calling. It might not look like mine. It may not look like Saul's, but he's got a job that he's prepared you uniquely for. You are special, and he calls you by name. He calls your name. I remember when God called me to serve him and follow him. There was no flashing light, and there was no sound from heaven, but just an inner knowing that God was asking me, requiring me to follow him and serve him in my life. And I responded eventually by saying, "Yes, God, I will follow you." And for me, the key transformation, like Paul and like anybody that becomes a Christian and follows God, is this. We go from a life where we're not serving God, not following him, to a life where we're following and serving Jesus. It's as simple as that. And what looks like for each person will be different. But it's about turning from a life where we're not following God to a life where we're following God. And God calls each one of us by name to do that. That's the first point. The second point is that Saul's encounter led to action. Despite the unfavorable conditions at the time, Saul immediately sprung into action. Following God requires obedience. And the first thing that Saul did was he got baptized. And that's what we should do when we become Christians. We should follow Jesus' example and be baptized. And it says there, as we read, immediately he began to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't wait for favorable conditions. He didn't wait when he learned more about Jesus. Immediately started to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. In chapter 26, when Saul describes this event of chapter 9, he says this: "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." He says this first: "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." So for all of us, being a Christian, following Jesus, should result in some action. It's not just, "Oh, I believe that now." It is that belief leads to us fulfilling the calling that God's got on our lives. And the conditions at the time were not favorable. They're not favorable for the preaching of the gospel because the Jews were totally against it. They tried to kill him, as we read later in the chapter. And the Roman Empire was against the Christians as well. But he didn't wait for conditions to be perfect. In fact, in his life, those conditions never changed. They were always against the gospel. And now in this coronavirus pandemic, conditions are not good. We're all at home. We're all in a completely different situation. We're out of our comfort zone. But God's got a plan for you at this time. He's got a calling for you to fulfill. I just want to say, don't wait. Ask God, "What is it you've got for me in this time?" Which is very different from a few weeks ago. Saul's encounter led to action, obedience. And for us, it must also lead to that. So firstly, was Saul's calling by Jesus very personal, and it is to you? Secondly, it led to action. And thirdly, the encounter with Jesus changed Saul's heart and his values. Right from the beginning, Jesus showed Saul that he would have to suffer for the name of Jesus. Right from the beginning, it was like even before he decided to follow Jesus, Jesus told him that he would suffer. But something that really helped Saul keep on track to endure the suffering and not get diverted from the calling that he got was that his values had changed. And he describes in Philippians 3, he writes this, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." From that moment, what Saul valued above everything was knowing Christ. He'd met Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had called him to serve him and follow him in a very specific way. And he valued that, knowing Christ and serving him above everything. So we can be tempted and diverted by lots of things. Maybe the desire for comfort, for riches, to sort our lives out. Or we might be diverted by the difficulties that surround us. But because Saul put his value on knowing Christ and serving him above everything else, then he wasn't tempted by riches nor diverted by difficulties. And so we all can be tempted to sort out our life or distracted by the difficulties in our life. But what we must do to keep on track, like Saul did, is to keep Jesus, knowing him and following him and serving him, that's the key value of our life. And then we're going to keep on track, like Paul did. And he achieved great things in his life. And God has got a great calling for you. And he wants you to stay on track. And I'm going to close by saying again what I said at the beginning, that Jesus Christ is calling each one of you to follow him, to know him, to serve him. And he wants you to fulfill the plan that he's got. It's not a plan he's going to make up today. It's not a plan that he's just going to think up when you decide to follow him. It's a plan that he's had from the beginning of time. And it will be a great plan and a significant plan. It won't look like the plan God's got for me. And it might not be easy, but will be great. And so I want to challenge you and ask you, what will your answer to God be? He's calling you today to follow him. What will your answer be? Maybe you are a Christian, but you know that really you're not really following the plan that God's got for your life. And maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. But today you want to make that decision to step into the plan that God's got for your life. Because God's got a great plan for you. But either way, whether you're a Christian and you're not in God's plan, or whether you're not a Christian and you want to be in God's plan for you, then I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer to say sorry to God for not being in the plan and to promise to be in that plan. And if you want to make that decision today to get back on track with God's plan, then just say this prayer in your heart as I pray it. Father, I just want to say sorry that I've not been following you and your plan that you have for me. I want to say that in Jesus' name and with your help, I want to follow the plan that you have to me. I want to serve you and know you. And I ask you that you help me by your Spirit and you forgive me for not following this plan. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you've prayed that prayer and really meant that, we'd love to hear from you so we can pray for you. You can message us on Facebook. You can email us at the church, admin@clch.cc, and we'd love to be praying for you. God bless you. Have a great day.